chapter 15. You know, I thought about if God, if you know, we've heard people say this, if God held us over hell for like 3 seconds, it would change our lives. But here we have the book of Revelation, and we're seeing, and he's given us a prophecy of the future, and we read it, and the Bible says there's a blessing in reading this thing, reading the book of Revelation and believing it, reading it and believing it. But the problem is most people don't believe it. They don't believe this thing's going to happen. They said, no way, man, this can't happen. This ain't no way this is going to happen, but it's going to happen. And if we're, like I said before, we're in Revelation chapter 4, we're actually 3. We're getting ready to go into 4, and the 4 is the rapture of the church. And this is the fourth account in Revelation 15 of the tribulation. I like what Doc writes in his Bible in chapter 16. He said, another account of God's environmental plan, protection plan. And you're going to see why he says that. Environmentalists are always worried about the planet. And we are too. I care about the planet. I thank God for the fresh air and fresh water and all that. Thank God for it. But the Lord's going to do some environmental things to this planet. And then he's going to renew it. But the Bible says, this is verse 1. I think we've already covered it, but I want to get down to the last verse. And he says, I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous. And you know Jews require a sign, but there's going to be signs and wonders. They're building up. They're coming up. And the Bible talks about signs to the Jews. But there's going to be signs in the air, sky, everything. And, you know, the moon turning to blood. And they had this four blood moons and all that. And Joel says the moon's going to turn to blood in the tribulation period. And, I mean, the sun's going to get 7 times brighter, hotter. And it's going to be wild. I mean, you're talking about, they make all the movies about it. All the movies in Hollywood, they're coming out with all the end of the world things and how to get through the end of the world and how are we going to save the world. And we're going to have this guy that knows how to do it. And the only one that's going to be able to save this world is Jesus Christ. That's the only one. Amen. And the only one that's going to take care of you is the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Your best bet is putting your trust in him and complete in him and asking him to meet your need. And now, we're like I said, this is future. This is all future. But I believe it's getting to be near future. I'm thinking it's getting closer and closer because we're already in chapter 3. The last church in Revelation chapter 3 is the Laodicean church, and they're asleep inside. And we're trying not to be asleep. I mean, this world, man, you get going in this world, it tried to rock you to sleep.
Right, amen.
And we're trying to stay awake. And we're at the fourth watch of the night. And the Bible says that Jesus came walking on the water on the fourth watch of the night. And that's when the Lord's the darkest time. That's when it's going to be the hardest time to stay awake. And the church age right now, they're not awake. And people are not awake. And they're falling out by the wayside. Everybody's falling out. They get into sin. They get into something. Something goes on and they fall out. And man, right now is the time to slap yourself in the face. And I've done that many times driving, trying to stay awake at 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning, coming home or going somewhere. 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning, 6 o'clock in the morning, your sun starts coming up. I've had to slap myself, take cold water, throw it in my face. And you're going to have to do that in this age when it comes down to serving God and finishing your course and finish your race. But why? You're going to have all kinds of stuff come at you and try to get you out of the path and from serving God. And I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, and 7 angels having the 7 last plagues, for in them was filled up with the wrath of God. And I saw, as it were, a sea of glass, and gives you insight on the heaven, what heaven is, mingled with fire, and them that had gotten the victory over the beast, and over his image, and over his mark. And then it says, and over the number of his name, stand on the sea of glass, having the harps of God. And they sing the song of Moses. We talk about what in Exodus chapter 15, Moses started singing, and he started singing about victory. And whenever there's singing going on in the Bible, there's always some victory that's already happened and is followed. And like I said last week in Psalms, the Babylonians said to the children of Israel, sing us a song of Zion. And they said, we can't sing the songs of Zion in a strange land. There was no victory in their life. And if you got victory in your life, you can walk around singing. And you can praise God. But these guys sing the song of Moses. Why? They had victory and God did some delivering in their lives. But there was 144,000 which end up being killed by the Antichrist. And they're in heaven with the Lord. And it says they sung the song of Moses. Why? Because in the tribulation period, right here in the tribulation period, is going to be works and faith right here. 7 years. Right here, we're in this day and age, it hasn't 1970 here, but we're in this day and age, we're saved by grace through faith plus nothing. Anybody can get saved if they really want to get saved. They mean business. You can get saved. Bow your head and ask Jesus Christ to forgive you and save you. He'll save you just like that. And here, in this time, you can bow your head all you want and say, Jesus, help me. God, Jesus, save me. Save me. It says you're going to have to endure to the end. You'll have to endure the end of what? The end of this whole thing or give your life. That's what the Bible teaches. And you say, do you want to find something to thank God for today? Thank God you're here. Amen.
Amen.
You're not there. Because
yeah.
You read Revelation. When I wrote, I'll never forget, man, I was in prison reading, trying to read the Bible. I had a guy reading the Bible. We had a living Bible. And the living Bible was all screwed up and nothing to it. And I remember sitting there and the guy, I'll never forget, I still see the guy's face. Came by my prison bar and he looked in and he goes, man, what are you reading? I said, I'm reading Revelation, trying to. And I had a guy sitting in the cell with me reading it to me because I couldn't read. And I'm trying to read it. And I remember that guy looking at me. He said, you reading Revelation? I said, yeah. He said, that's a wild book. I said, yeah, but I don't understand it. And I didn't understand it at the time. I understand it now. I know what it's talking about. And that book of Revelation is real. Like I said last week, the Catholic Church tries to say, oh, that's just all past. That's ancient Rome. That's history. But no, it ain't. That's future, man. This is what's coming down the pike. It's like a train coming down the tracks, and it's at full throttle, and it's coming. And boy, I tell you what, thank God I'm saved. Amen.
Amen.
And they sing the song of Moses serving the God and the song of the Lamb, saying, you notice this, that Moses, the law and the Lamb. Law and faith. Works and faith. And it says, saying, great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. True and just and true are thy ways, thou King of the saints. Who shall not fear thee, O Lord? Glorify thy name, for thou art only holy. For all nations shall come and worship before thee, for thy judgments are made manifest. And we know the Bible says that right here, God's going to judge all the nations right there. United Nations, 193 nations, and probably not all in the United Nations, but there's probably over 200 nations in the world, and they're going to be judged by the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And the Bible tells you that. You say, where's that at? Matthew chapter 25. You'll find that in Matthew 25. He's going to judge the nations of the world and how they treated his children and, you know, and how they treated the Jews. And so he's going to judge them. And he's going to sit king over. And then the Bible tells us in Zechariah, it says that when they go into the millennium, which is right here, when they go into the millennium, they've got to come every year or send a representative every year to Jerusalem to represent their county or their state or whatever, their country. They got to send a representative to the king. And they got to come. That's in Zechariah chapter 14. And it says if they don't come, then God's not going to send rain. So, where do we come in at that? Jesus said, you'll suffer with me, you'll reign with me. So what is that? Is that not all Christians are going to reign with Jesus Christ. Not everybody's worthy to reign with him. You say, are you going to reign? I probably not. Probably not worthy enough. But they're going to be Christians that reign with Jesus Christ, and they're going to represent Jesus Christ around the world. You know, the Bible tells us now we represent Jesus Christ. You're saved. The Bible tells us, and take your Bible, look in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Look in 2 Corinthians 5. Look what it says. You are an ambassador now. You're an ambassador right now of Jesus Christ. How are you representing him? Are you standing for him? Are you telling people about him? And those that suffer with him shall reign with him. I'm not saying you got to beat yourself. And you got to go through all this, you know, like the Catholic Church taught. I was up in Canada. They have some steps that go up in this cathedral in Montreal. I mean, it's probably hundreds of steps. And the pastor that took me there, and he said, oh, man, ain't nobody out there beating themselves today. And they crawl up the steps, and they throw glass down so they can crawl on glass. And they try to make themselves suffer, try to make themselves worthy to get into heaven. Here you are saved in your right mind, sitting in a church, and you're saved on your way to heaven. And man, and people are unhappy, unthankful, and not thankful for going to heaven. I'm glad I'm saved tonight. Amen? Aren't you?
Amen.
I'm glad I'm saved.
Yeah.
Boy, I tell you what, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and it says, where is it? Verse 20. Look at here. Now then, we are what? We're ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he that hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. God took your sin, wicked sin, and he took it upon himself and gave you his righteousness. What a trade.
Amen.
And now he says, I want you to go represent me.
Yeah.
Represent me. So I hope you're representing him real good. I hope you represent the Lord good. So back to Revelation chapter 15. And look what the Bible says here. It says, and after I looked, verse 5, behold, the temple of the tabernacle of the testimony in heaven was open. And I've said last week or week before last, where I can't remember when it was, the temple in heaven, God gave directions to the Moses. And he said, everything that I tell you, and Moses had in his mind, he said, I'm going to fill a man with spirit, the spirit, a holy dad. He said, I'm going to fill him with the Holy Spirit, and he's going to make everything for the temple and the tabernacle. He's going to make it. And look, we'll look in a minute. But he fills these men with wisdom how to work with gold and silver and brass and wood and all that stuff. And these men had wisdom, and they made the stuff for the tabernacle. And Moses was telling them what clothes to make for the priest, for the high priest, all the garments, everything. And God spent chapter after chapter after chapter in the book of Exodus on those items. You think about this. You think about something. Now he says he's going to change our vile bodies and fashion like on his glorious body. And he spent some time. You think about mankind. God spent some time when he made Adam. And the Bible says we're gloriously made. He took time. And then he took 7 days, seventh day he rested, 6 days in a week to work, and he made, and not because he could have spoke to everything in existence, but he did it by his own hands. And he did it by his own hands for 6 days and made everything, to see all the animals and see. I like to watch Discovery and you say, what in the world kind of fish is that? And the name of it. And the Bible says Adam named all the animals. He named everything. God, Adam wasn't stupid. He wasn't a caveman walking around dragging his wife around by her hair, beating her in the head with a club. That's got to be crazy for a person to believe that. Adam spoke, he looked at something and called bear. That's a bear. That's a lion. I mean, that's an ant. Man, he named all that stuff. And you think about all the fish in the sea. And you say, there's fish man hadn't even discovered yet, God made, for his glory. Now look on down. It says, verse 5, and after this I looked, and behold, the temple of the tabernacle of the testimony in heaven was open, and the seven angels came out of the temple, having the seven plagues, clothed in pure and white linen, and having their breasts girded with a golden girdle. That's where the priests, when they came, they were in the tabernacle, they had to have the priestly outfits on. Now Jesus Christ, the Bible tells us in Hebrews, that he is our high priest now. He is our high priest. Then the Bible tells us that we're priests unto our God. Isn't that crazy? You're a priest unto our God. Not like the Catholic Church, not like the Catholic priest. You're a priest unto God. Take your Bible, look in 2 Peter. Look over in the book of Peter. Tells you, look what it says. Maybe it's 1 Peter. Look what it says. Somebody find me that verse real quick. 1 Peter, and what it says about your chosen generation, a royal priesthood. And you say, that's talking about the Jews. No, it's talking about all of us. First Peter chapter 2, verse 9. It says, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, talking about the Jews, a peculiar people, which they are, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. But it says, you're a chosen generation. That you say, you can apply that to us, a royal priesthood. And the Bible tells us why. Because we're making intercession for other people. That's what we're supposed to be doing. Take your Bible, look in Timothy. Look in 1 Timothy, and tells you that we are supposed to make intercession for others. And a priest made intercession. 1 Timothy chapter, let's see here. Came to my mind. 1 Peter, here it is. 1 Peter chapter 2. Look at 1 Peter chapter 2. It says, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplication, prayers, intercession, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty, for this is good, now look what it says, and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God, one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Whereunto I am ordained a preacher, an apostle, I speak the truth in Christ, I lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands. Holy hands. It says, without wrath and doubting. In like manner also the women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness, and sobriety, with broad hair. And it says, or gold, not with broiled hair or with gold or pearls or costly array, but with which becometh women professing godliness with good works. Let the women learn in silence with all subjection. But I suffer not a woman to teach, to assert authority over man, but to be in silence. For Adam was first formed, so on. And then the great verse that everybody wonders about, it says, verse 14, Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. Notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing, if they continue in faith and charity and holiness with sobriety. So what is that, being not deceived? She shall be saved. That's having children. She'd be saved from being deceived because she's got a husband and raising the children. So look on back in chapter Revelation chapter 15. There's a lot in this book, man. There's a lot here. It explains it. It explains itself. The seven angels, verse 6, came out of the temple, having the seven plagues clothed in purple, pure and white linen, having their breasts girded with a golden girdle. And one of the four beasts gave unto the seven angels seven golden vials full of the wrath of God, who liveth forever and ever. Now, here's what I want you to see. And the temple was filled with smoke from the glory of God and from his power, and no man was able to enter into the temple till the seven plagues of the seven angels were fulfilled. Now, go back to Exodus chapter 40. Look at this thing. It says, the smoke of the glory of God. God's glory. And that's what we're here for. We're here for his glory. We're here to give him glory. You're here, and I'm here to give God glory. And he should fill the temple. Our body, the Bible tells us, our body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. And then it tells you, if you don't let God run this body, then he'll destroy it. Now, go to Exodus chapter 40. Look at this. I love this. I was just reading this. I love this. At chapter after chapter through 36, 37, 38, and so on, 39. And they explain all the different garments and the tabernacle set up and all this. And then the Bible says Moses came out to see what it looked like, and he looked at it, and he was pleased with it. And look at this. Verse 33, he reared up the court around about the tabernacle of the altar. And notice that now this here in Exodus, the tabernacle is in the wilderness. The temple is not built yet. David builds the temple in 1 Samuel or 2 Samuel. David doesn't build it. I mean, he prepares for it. Solomon builds the temple. But this is a tabernacle. And the thing on the outside looked ugly. I mean, it was camel's hair and you know, all kinds of stuff. But inside was beautiful. And gold, silver, precious stones, all that stuff. But it looked like a big tent on the outside. But inside, you walked in, you went, whoa. And God said, build the thing according to the way I want it. And then God filled it. He filled that place. And the Bible says there's a cloud that came over. And I think about this, that same cloud that came over that place was the same cloud that led the children of Israel through the wilderness before the tabernacle was even built. God put a cloud by day to protect the children of Israel from the Egyptians. And then a fire came out. And then that cloud moved, and they went right through the Red Sea. And that thing kept going with them. And then when they built that ark and the testimony and all that, that cloud would go out, and the ark of the testimony would go first. And whenever Joshua gets to the Jordan River in the book of Joshua, and the priests, the Levites, have the ark of the covenant in their on their shoulder, they as soon as they touch the water opens up. With Moses back there in Exodus, Moses takes his staff and touches the water and opens up. And man, you talking about the glory of God. You talking about the power of God. Look at this in verse 33. And he reared up the court around about the tabernacle of the altar, set up the hangings of the court gate. So Moses finished the work. Then a cloud covered the tent of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And Moses was not able, look at this, Moses was not able to enter into the tent of the congregation because the cloud abode thereon. And the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And when the cloud was taken up from over the tabernacle, the children of Israel went onward in all their journey. But if the cloud were not taken up, then they journeyed not until the day that it was taken up. For the cloud of the Lord was upon the tabernacle by day, and check this out, and a fire was on it by night. Here, all Israel's armies came out to the mountaintop, and they're out there, and they're looking, and all of a sudden, they see this tabernacle during the day, and there's a cloud over top. They said, man, it looks like it's going to rain. Something's going on there. But the cloud went all the way up to heaven. It was like a funnel cloud. And they were looking at that thing going, wow. And then at night when they came up, that same place, fire went straight up. That's why the heathen around about, they said, who is a God like this? How can we fight against him? I mean, this God is something else. That's the same God we have. Yep. Same God inside of us. Right. When you asked him to come in, now you're the tabernacle. Yeah. He's inside you. Is, you know what? When he's inside you, it's a glory in there. There's a joy in there. There's, man, there's peace in there. Man, there's no sin in there. Man. When he's in there fully, when he's pleased, see, the cloud came down when the Lord was pleased with everything. I mean, he told him what to do. Moses came out and said, this is right. Everything's right. And man, the cloud filled the tabernacle. The Lord wants to fill us. I mean, we talk about, well, I know we have the Holy Ghost of God when we got saved. But a lot of people say, well, you know, I got the Spirit of God. You know, the Bible says, he that hath not the Spirit of Christ is none of his. Romans chapter 8. If you don't have the Spirit of God in you, you're not saved. But you're supposed to let the Lord have his way and fill the tabernacle. Fill him. Let him fill you up. We talk about, you know, the glory of God. I mean, having the power of God. We want to see the power of God. We want the glory of God in our lives. What about him filling you up? When he's inside you and he's stirring you up and you got joy, you got peace, you got happiness. I mean, man, you got those things. You're not using his name in vain. You're not cussing. You're not mad at people. You're not, man, smoking dope. It's not a cloud with smoking a joint. They don't mix. Or drinking a bottle, that doesn't mix. And I'm going to tell you something. You put that in there, you what you're doing, you're endangering yourself. You're endangering God to judge you. You're endangering yourself as for him to tear that tent apart. Take your Bible, look with me to 1 Corinthians. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. People think they can play with God. You can't, hey man, I realize this, when you first get saved, he's merciful. He's merciful after you're saved for a long time. I've been saved for 40 some years. He's still merciful to me. He's still good to me. I deserve to be in hell now for the thoughts that I think. So do you. He's good to me. He's good to you. But you know what I found? He's more gentle with a baby Christian. He allows more in happen. Why? Because he knows they haven't grown up. Look at this. Look in chapter 3 of 1 Corinthians. See, people don't realize, like I said, if God held us over hell for like 3 seconds, that's about all we could take or less, then we would come back, change people. But if you read that Bible, you read the book of Revelation, you realize this is really going to happen. We're going to really stand before him. We're going to really see him. Amen. This is not a fairy tale. We're not talking about, you know, Goldilocks. We're not talking about, you know, Pinocchio. We're not talking about all that stuff. And by the way, they get most of that from the Bible. They get all them fairy tales they make up. They get a basis from the Bible. But you think about this, that once you read the book of Revelation, and the Bible says, blessed is the man that reads it. There's a blessing in it. When you read that thing, it makes you sober-minded, realizing, hey, man, this thing ain't going to last forever. So what if the Lord come back right now? I mean, this body belongs to him. When you got saved, God took time when the Bible says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. From the day I got saved till now until the day I die, I have to give account for what I've done in this body, this tabernacle, this temple. The Bible calls it a temple. And it's called the tabernacle as well. Now, check this out. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, look at verse 11. For other foundation can no man lay that was laid, which is Jesus Christ. And now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stone, there's that gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, and stubble. Let every man's work be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. You know that? You know, I'm going to tell you something. That fire was hanging over that tabernacle, and it didn't consume it. And down south, we used to, we'd go to camp and say, God, fill me up, God. Give me the power, God. Give me the fire. And think about a person in hell, in the lake of fire, they're not consumed. Think about this. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man works by which he had built thereupon. Now, it's telling you, you're building something here. You're, since you're saved, from the day you got saved, you're building something. And the Bible tells us that also to build ourselves up in the most holy faith. We're supposed to be building ourselves up, not tearing ourselves down. Amen. So we're supposed to be building ourselves up in our most holy. Our faith should be getting stronger day by day, not weaker and weaker day by day. We should be getting stronger, which I'm going to tell you that, something else. That faith that you have is what's going to last. It's going to go through the fire. And why? How do you know that? Because the Bible tells you that. It's going to go through the fire. Your faith will go through the fire. If any man's work shall be burnt, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved by yet so as by fire. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? Look what it says. If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God what? For the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. See, I have to give more of account than you do to God. Why? I'm an older Christian. I've been saved not as long as some of y'all have been saved longer than me. But I'm an older Christian. God put me in charge of a congregation. Amen. And I'm in charge of people that's gotten saved. I'm over that. Not like a dictator, not that type thing. But as I'm responsible, I have more to give account for. Amen. I'm going to have to stand before God, and the Lord's going to say, how come, as a pastor of Faith Baptist Church, how come you didn't preach what I wanted you to preach? That's why I told you, whenever I go somewhere and preach, I tell folks, it makes no difference if you like me or not. I preach funerals, weddings, I said, it makes no difference if you like me or not. I don't care. Because I want to be, I'm responsible to him. Amen. I want you to like me, and I'm not trying to just say things just to offend you, just so you can get mad and leave and say, I can, you know, chalk it up and say, I ran another one out. No, that's not the right attitude of any minister. Preacher, is you want to help people. I want to help my brothers and sisters get stronger. I want them to be able to stand before God and say, Lord, thank you for the preacher that you sent our way, that he stood for the truth, and he guided us, and he helped us, and he didn't back down.
Yeah.
It says, if any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. Look at it again, 1 Corinthians 6. Look at it again. See, that's why when you got saved, your body is very, you know, your body's not saved. Your body, it belongs to God, but it's not saved. This body needs to be sanctified daily, daily in the Word of God, washed in the Word of God, washed. Your mind, my soul's saved, my spirit's saved, but my body's not saved. My body is, my body right here in your body, my hands, my eyes, my head, my feet, everything, it doesn't like God.
That's right.
Yours doesn't either. And your body is what's going to give you the hardest time. If you have an addiction, your body's going to beat you half to death. You have some kind of addiction, it's going to say, I want it now. I want it now. And your old new man inside you, if you don't have that new man strong enough, that new man will say, no, you're not. You're not going to get it. You're not going to do it. No, you're going to go to church, boy. And the body, your old man, the body says, I hate church. I don't want to go to church. I don't want to read the Bible. I don't want to pray. And the new man inside says, you're going to shut up. That's what you're going to do. And you're going to listen what I tell you. Why? Because he's stronger inside. Build yourself up in your most holy faith. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6. What? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you? That's another thing. You got God's spirit inside you. He's trapped inside you. He's inside you. And he's making intercession for you. And the Holy Spirit of God's inside you saying, and you're saying, God, give me this. God, give me the give me. And the Holy Spirit's going, no. Don't give it to him. Don't give it to him. This is what they need. And the Holy Spirit starts telling them spiritual things, holy things. And you're saying, no, I don't want that. I was just praying today. I said, Lord, if there's something that I'm missing in my Christian walk that I should be doing for you or helping somebody, I don't want to miss it. Amen. I want to do it. That's a good thing to pray. Yeah. Lord, if there's something missing, I just come to, I was in the truck driving, to, and I thought, Lord, if there's something I'm missing that you want me to do, help me to do it. So aren't you afraid? Why should I be afraid of him? Why should I be afraid of what he wants me to do? Because if he wants you to do something, he'll empower you to do it.
Yeah. Amen. That's right.
What? Know you not? Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God. You're not your own. You're bought with a price. Therefore, it says you're bought. Therefore, glorify God in your body, your body, your body. Your body, see, it doesn't say your soul and your spirit, which are God's. Your soul's saved. It's circumcised, set apart. It says the smoke of the glory of God filled the temple. And I was telling you about the tabernacle down there and, you know, the old Greer tabernacle, the camp meetings and stuff, where it used to get on. I mean, we've seen it around here. We've seen people get... We've seen it, folks, where our August meeting, 38 people got saved in 1 week here. That's been a blessing. We see people saved every August, but not like that. But boy, if we all got filled with the Holy Ghost in the sense, I'm talking about not falling down on the ground going, blah, 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 blah. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about man wanting to see God's glory and let him fill us. And what? Be careful what we're looking at. Be careful what we're listening to. Be careful what we're talking about. And let the glory of God fill our mouth and we'll talk about him, not be ashamed of him. Brother, sister, we see something. We see more. We see a lot, thank God. We see a lot. I want to see more. I'm not satisfied. I'm not satisfied with what we have. I'm not talking about buildings and all that. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about I want to see more fruit. And I want the fruit to remain. We see a lot of fruit, but a lot of the fruit don't remain. They fall by the wayside. So, amen. We have to stop right there. Amen. The Lord is good.